Yeah, I think the relationship between Bram Stoker and Oscar Wilde is a very complicated and very interesting one. The other biographical fact is that the woman that Bram Stoker married, Florence Balcombe, had only just turned down a proposal for marriage from Oscar Wilde back in the 1870s. So 20 years later, they're both in London. They're both from they've known each other since childhood. Oscar Wilde is someone who is living a very different, very dangerous, very reckless life in London, and he is caught and tried by another childhood friend of Oscar Wilde and Bram Stoker, Edward Carson, who became a QC, and gets thrown in jail. Now, some people have said that there must have been a kind of real terror for Bram Stoker about what had happened to Oscar Wilde. It was his sexual misdemeanors that got him into trouble, but it was also his Irishness and his republicanism that got him into trouble. And that's the kind of politics, not nearly as openly, but that's the kind of politics that Bram Stoker had too. So maybe there was a kind of worry about that. And some critics have seen shades of the later bloated, decadent, dangerous Oscar Wilde in the figure of Dracula. I'm not quite sure that you can see it so spectacularly there. Now, the other thing you mentioned about Freud, I think, is really striking. In 1896, Freud finally coins the term psychoanalysis and gets to his own method of treatment, which we know so well, but it had been a long struggle for him trying to define precisely what his method was. And he was a very controversial figure because he put sexuality at the absolute core of our identity, and also put sexuality into children and into infants in a way that most Victorians would find horrifying, offensive, repulsive. So he wasn't particularly well known, Freud, in England until a bit later. But nevertheless, as you say, it's in the air. And I think you can put these two things together and say, well, we know how we would perhaps do a Freudian reading of Dracula, which that it is, on the one hand, full of terror about the threat to the sexual purity of women. That was a big discourse in the 1890s, a great sort of national campaign to try and clear up the country and try and protect the country from prostitution, sexually transmitted diseases, but also from the vagaries of hypocritical Victorian gentlemen too. So that kind of stuff is in Dracula, definitely. You can see it in Mina and Lucy, and how Lucy is punished for her sexual views in many ways. But on the other hand, I think what Dracula is about men together, and groups of men together behaving in what some people might call a homosocial way. That is, they form bonds and fraternities of men, solely of men, broadly to protect women, but nevertheless the bonds between the men are really quite striking. And I think there are lots of, it's very interesting that in the book most of the men suffer from breakdowns of various kinds or moments of hysteria. They're clearly, in a way, experience a kind of effeminacy. They are rendered effeminate by this kind of masterful Dracula kind of figure. So I think Stoker was a very conservative figure about gender and sexuality, but the book is totally chaotic about these kind of things in a really kind of quite overmanic, productive, hysterical way, which means that loads of readers can read lots of different things into it. You can see that this might be a book about heterosexual kind of anxieties at the end of Empire, the year of the Jubilee. But on the other hand, you can see it as all of these undercurrents of other kind of sexualities and perversities going on.